money that don't exist. That it's on paper, cats with calculators. Calculate a way to make a real dollar off a dollar faker. And you know they say to trust God, he's your maker. Blind is how he made you. Welcome to slave labor. We're slaves on good behavior. Get iPods, iPhones, headphones, Beats, Sun, flat screens, fly rides. Everybody needs one. You'll just need that education. Then you'll need time off for vacations and free time to raise them kids you'll be raising, to place them within the same rat race you're racing. Sometimes I wanna cry too. Just tell me, what did I do? Got a diploma, rather I got an owner I've been lied to. They asked, what would that provide you? If you followed your heart, if you followed the art, if you followed everything that is inside you. You might be wise too, true, but you'll be poor when they shove you out the door. Yo, don't let that shit surprise you. Now I'm the dumbest small cat that I know. I'd rather die young, dirt poor. And though I gave my dream a shot, it would just mean a lot more than any high grade that I could ever score. But it's too late, because I already did it. And when I said I did it, I really mean I didn't. Why would I try? I mean, really, are you kidding? I'd rather die than keep living how I'm living. Fuck the money. If it never comes, I'll never care. Cause when I'm chasing dough, the happiness is never there. I'm never scared to put my time where it needs to be. Fuck the debt, cause they would never get a piece of me. I'm at peace with my decision to live peacefully and to treat others with the sense of common decency and to pursue my dreams because of what it means to me. I don't live for the money, I live for better reasons. See, my skills, my body, my soul, my will cannot be purchased. They dangle in their trinkets cause it makes for obedient workers. But I'm nobody's servant. This universe gave me a purpose, and my purpose is to spread the word that it is worthless to pursue all of these things when all it does is just hurt us. To remain at the surface when that which will save us just lies from what is deeper, but all our behavior is guided towards hatred, division, and competition. I just need to follow my love, make it my mission. Stop wishing on a star, find a star within. Make the world a better place, allow me to begin. They got me chasing after money that don't exist. Debt, it's on paper, cats with calculators. Calculate a way to make a real dollar off a dollar faker. And you know they say to trust God, he's your maker.
You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch!
You can't stop it.
I gotta show that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased.
What are you trying to say?
I'm so into you.
I really don't really care.
What?
Next message.
We're still here.
Look at my cat.
Get off the cat.
You son of a bitch.
Enjoy it.
ODG, Occupy Dave and Giggles.
Where's that?
I got two turntables and a microphone.
Where's that?
End of message.
I got two turntables and a microphone.
Where's that?
Next message.
I got two turntables and a microphone.
Where's that?
Seriously, guys, four.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out.
End of message.
You look so good right now, you son of a bitch.
Next message.
Talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Get in touch. You got to talk about it.
Horrible. Give us a call. 646-915-9228.
DaveandGiggles.blogspot.com.
That's what it is. Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Gotta go really big.
As that intro just said, we are Dave and Giggles.
And we're going big.
We're going real big.
Real big. We have
all
a...
Right, talk to us.
What?
What's happening?
I was doing that. We have a big show tonight.
You set up the show. You produced. Which
I produced.
You haven't done
this
in
is
a
my
while.
Guest. I brought the guest in.
You brought the guest in.
Haven't brought a guest in a while.
Long time.
But today, tonight, I brought the guest in. His name's Michael Crow. He goes by Crow, C-R-O sometimes.
Yeah.
Nickname on the street. But... He's a rapper, or he's a hip hop artist. Is that more correct?
Yeah, I mean, I the first song that we opened the show with, thank you guys.
Which was yours.
Thank you, yeah, for playing that. That's like the new song that I just put out. I did every facet of that song. I would call myself, yeah, a hip-hop artist because I do the production, I do the vocals, I write the lyrics.
So by every facet, you mean like the beats, the lyrics, everything?
Whole thing. Everything that I've put out that's on my SoundCloud, except for the scratching on the Nick song. That's my DJ Bino. He did the scratching. But everything else that's
just
on the page.
Just give us your SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.com/Michael Crow. That's C-R-O, no W.
All right, so SoundCloud.com/Michael Crow, C-R-O. What's the difference between a hip-hop artist and a rapper?
Well, you know, I mean, hip-hop's got a bunch of elements to it. It's, you know, so like the rap part of the game is one element. And then there's, you know, I don't comprise all of the elements either, but I do more than rap because, you know, I make the music and I make the beats.
So basically the difference is a rapper is just rapping while a hip-hop artist is doing pretty much everything they can do to make this happen.
Yeah, I mean, graffiti artists could be considered hip-hop artists because, I mean, they're graffiti was one of the elements of hip-hop, and, you know, DJs are hip-hop artists, and breakdancers are hip-hop artists, and rappers are hip-hop artists.
So you're telling me that pretty much anything under the sun could fall under hip-hop artists.
yeah, pretty much. CPAs are hip-hop artists.
So, like, my attorney is a hip-hop artist because he deals with numbers. He crunches them.
Yeah, no, it's not. It doesn't reach that far, but I wouldn't say I'm just a rapper, and I would never call somebody who only raps just a rapper because, I mean, that's just a tremendous skill on its own.
So has rapper, the whole idea of, like, a rapper, because, like, when you think of a rapper, it just doesn't get thrown around anymore. Like, a rapper is very old school, so, like, rapper has really fell to the wayside as far as, like, the term anymore.
I almost prefer the term MC because a rapper suggests that you know, you can rap, but an MC in a hip-hop context would be able to not only you know, rap, but also kind of master the crowd and get the crowd participation going. And when you've been to, like, a good hip-hop show, we'll have good crowd participation, and the MC will make sure that the crowd is into it.
You got to get the crowd into it, because if not, they're just
done. I didn't know what you were doing. You were just raising the roof?
Raising the roof. Yeah. It was basically, like, what the MC does.
I think
curling. He's
curling. We're going to surprise you on the lack of information we know about hip-hop and rap.
He was dropping some names on the car ride over here. I was like, I have no idea.
That's interesting. Who is, like, the premier rap king right now?
Yeah, there's a couple of dudes. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm a big fan of Kendrick Lamar. I like what he's doing. In terms of, like, a new guy, a new name that you might not have heard of. You know, obviously there's the popular names that you know, Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, Rick Ross.
Rick Ross, the Thriller. Ridiculous.
Those guys are all popular. They all could claim, like, a big portion of what's popular in hip hop. Macklemore, you know, is also a very
popular
guy.
That's that white guy, right?
He's the white guy for sure. He made it harder for all those white rappers out there, man, by winning that Grammy.
But he's considered actually good.
He's considered good, and I think that he's respected by a lot of people in the hip-hop community. I just think that, you know, after winning the Grammy and the whole controversy over him winning over Kendrick Lamar's album, which is probably the better rap album, it just stirred up a lot of stuff.
We can't trust anything in the Grammys, first of all. You know, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, I don't put much stock into awards shows. I mean, like, my favorite MC is Ghostface Killah. I don't think he's ever been nominated for a Grammy. And, you know, that to me doesn't distinguish his legacy at all. You know, the fact of the matter is that, like, you know, in hip-hop, I mean, your skills are, like, that's your Grammy. You know, if you're a nasty MC, then, I mean, you don't need somebody to tell you you're a nasty MC.
Ghostface Killer was part of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. He's probably one of, like, the more successful of the solo guys. You know.
I feel like you have a lot of these, like the Macklemores of the world. And
is it,
like,
Macklemore or is it Macklemore?
I have no idea, man. I call him Macklemore, but, like, I never really, I don't know. I never bothered to get as far as.
I don't want
to.
You know. I don't want
to. I never really cared.
No.
But I mean, I consider him, like, more pop. As far as, like, he's, and I feel like that's kind of.
Well, he's casting a wide net.
He's casting a wide net. But, like, when I think of, like, where rap ended, where I kind of was into it, which was, like, the 90s, you know, like, or the early 2000s, the Biggie Smalls, when it was like just starting to get popular, and it was like really, really into it. And then it kind of like melded, rap kind of melded into hip hop, and that's kind of where I felt like it hit its pop culture, you know.
I think it's still like one of the most, if not most popular forms of music, and I think it's really accessible. You know, it uses stuff that's really familiar to pop music. Everything is almost always in a 4/4 beat. I mean, there's a reason that hip-hop works. You know, it was hip-hop came up in a time where the people that were creating it didn't have you know, instruments and recording studios, so you know,
but I mean, neither did the Beatles. Neither did the Rolling Stones.
They had
instruments just as much as,
yeah,
as like Macklemore has instruments, just as much as Jimi Hendrix had instruments. You know, like all these guys have instruments. You know, if you wanted to, you can go down to the Five and Dime shop, whatever you're gonna do, and get like a cheap little old ass guitar.
Yeah, I had a very, very long arc to the point that I was gonna make. Actually,
I like to jump in and yell.
Yeah, Dave likes to hear himself talk. No, so.
I'm also trying to get a Macklemore or not a Macklemore song, a Kendrick Lamar song, because I've never heard of him. So
yeah,
as soon as he gets popping here on my phone, which is just spinning.
He's dope, man. He's dope. He's a special kid. But yeah, man, the thing with hip hop is that since they were making it on the street and people were using records that they were familiar with, and they were looping, like, you know, hooks from soul songs and instrumentals and drum breaks to make their music. I think that you know, like, hip hop has always been rooted in taking like the essence of like a hook or like a good piece of a song and just repeating it over and over again so the rapper or the MC could rap over it. And, you know, I think that's kind of, like, probably why, like, it's still such a super popular art form, because it's always kind of just gone at what works the most of a song. Like, you know, when you would hunt through a song to you know, do your chops, or if you're a producer or whatever, you know, you're looking for, like, the ear-catching pieces, and you're looping those, and you're looking for the beats that have the groove, and you're looping those, and that's what people love anyway.
So I want to talk about the song that we heard a few minutes ago, the opening song, because right, that's something I'm sure you're pretty passionate about. It's it seems like what I took from it was that basically, I'm actually just going to quote what you told me, so I'm not going to say it. But you tell me what you think. Basically, you told me that it was, what are you doing?
Playing Kendrick.
This is Kendrick Lamar.
This is Kendrick Lamar, right?
It is.
It's different.
I want to listen to him a little bit. Miscellaneous minds, never
explaining the minds, devilish grin. This is Control, right? Is that
so you consider him hip-hop? Yeah, it's
Control. Yeah, this is actually a very controversial song. It's got more than just Kendrick Lamar on it. He's got a couple of other MCs on there. And I think his verse is the third verse. I haven't listened to this song a lot, but this was a controversial song because he said he was king of New York in this song.
So Jay-Z took offense.
A lot of people, not New York rappers, took offense.
But he's an L.A. rapper.
He is an L.A. rapper.
So that's
kind
of
good
balls
for him. Good for him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he did something cool. It really kind of stirred up the internet for a little while there. And then it died pretty quickly, probably as quickly as it got stirred up. But, yeah, I mean, he's...
this isn't him right here.
I don't think so, man. But, you know, I'm kind of, you know, like, I didn't listen to this song a lot. You know.
So let me ask you this question, because it's something that really bothers
me. This isn't on his album, for instance, the Mad City album.
Something that really bothers me. I am a fan of rap to a degree, okay? I'll say that honestly. I like rap to a degree, and I like hip-hop to a degree. But I'm going to try to be really sensitive about this, because you might take it the wrong way.
No, not at all, man. Let loose.
Is Jay-Z really awful? Like... When I listen to him, I hear someone who might be slow.
Nah, man, I think that Jay-Z's a dope MC. He was never like one of my faves. I gotta admit, like, coming up and even today, I keep tabs on what's popular, but like most of the shit that really hits me is underground shit. So, I mean, you know, while people were listening to Jay-Z, I was, you know, probably still just fucking looping Ghostface albums like Supreme Clientele over and over again, which is funny because I don't really think I sound like Ghostface at all. But Yeah. So, Jay-Z, I don't know, man. He's got to be dope. He's doing something right, man. He's totally doing something right.
He's got the empire. He's got the empire.
Moving units.
I just really can't listen to it. I mean, there was like.
It sounds like he's yelling at me.
I wish there was better internet, but there was like some guy, Fitty Tyson. You remember Fitty Tyson?
Yeah,
he was an internet.
He sounds like him.
And I was always like, he was an autistic kid. And he always, I was like, I could never.
If you're not autistic, I'm sorry.
Fitty.
I don't think he's listening.
But I could never, like, when I listened to both of them, I was, I don't know which one's which. I could never tell. I mean, obviously, you could tell by production value and the way he was rapping, but the style in his voice. I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah, you know.
Well, you didn't come with an entourage.
No,
so Jay-Z usually rolls with an entourage. You actually pick me up.
Yeah, it's
not. So you're the entourage.
I'm the entourage.
Look at that,
man. I am so underground right now, man. Underground people, we don't have entourage, man. I'm like, we're deep underground over here. You guys are dealing with the very underground artists.
This is very underground.
But I do. I want to talk about the song.
Like magma, earth core underground. Like
this is magma.
Yeah, this is not
just
like
the magma
subway.
Show.
This is not subway underground.
It's deeper.
This is not cellar underground. This is like.
Core.
Earth's mantle underground.
It's
yeah.
core, baby.
Yeah,
it's core.
It's, yeah, I'm not up on my earth science, but.
But you're wearing a Knicks sweater. But this was a hit, right? This was as viral as you've gotten.
Yeah,
as you've hit. You got.
What are you talking about?
So this guy
set it up.
That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to set
that
it up, bro.
Setup.
You interrupted.
That was
me
a backwards.
Bull.
On the spot coaching.
All right, go ahead. Set it up.
Set it up.
Set it up.
It's like The View with dudes. So I met you a couple months ago, a few months back, and you told me about this. I was like, all right, I'll check it out. Basically, the Knicks bought your song that you did for them getting the championships. You know it better than I do.
Yeah.
I really don't know much about you.
Nah, this is a
didn't
cool
do my
story.
Research.
Yeah, don't you worry, man. It's really not a lot about me out there. This is probably like the most exposure I've had in my life right here. It's not been a Nick thing. But the Nick thing goes.
I can't tell if that was a shot at him or us.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Is this your first radio interview?
As a hip hop artist, solo hip hop artist, yes, first official.
Right,
we
here.
Do a lot of firsts.
First, I didn't even give you guys any of my background. Like before being a hip hop MC, like as a solo thing, I was also the guitarist in a prog metal 3-piece called Do You See the Dark. It was a female fronted like sounded like Tool. Crossed with Nirvana with like a female singer.
Shit.
Yeah, it was a cool vibe. And then so I did tons of interviews with that, but this is my first because 2012 was like a rebuilding year, you know. I had to rebuild the franchise.
Dave, will you listen to this, please?
I'm listening to it.
Okay.
Because
he's looking at you, but you're not looking at him.
I'm listening.
He's
bro.
Not looking at me, so I don't know who he's talking to.
Just relax.
I don't know who I'm talking. I'm just gonna
talk
to this clip. That's
no, I'm listening. I'm actually, I think I found a Do You See the Dark on YouTube. We're going to try to find it. That was the goal of this.
Yeah. You might. The best thing that you could find is if you go to doyouseethedark.bandcamp.com.
Nice.
Yeah, do that if you want.
I totally want to hear prog rock metal, toolish type stuff with a chick front.
Go to doyouseethedark.bandcamp.com. That'll be your the best place to go. So yes, I did tons of interviews with that, and
right.
But that's also like a totally different vibe because you're kind of you got your bandmates, me and the singer of the band. We would do most of our, do Drankin' off of the Bandcamp. Do You See the Dark? Because that's our studio. It'll be our studio recording.
Dark.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
On it.
Yeah. So me and
on air internet searching.
Me on yeah. This is
this is
cutting
show
edge.
Prep, bro.
This
show.
Is cutting edge, man. We are at the cusp of what is acceptable.
we're barely there. We're
towing the fine line between, So like I was saying, man, I had a lead, you know, my lead singer, her and I would team up on interviews, so I would always have somebody to fall back and like pick up the slack. So this is kind of a interesting thing for
having nobody listening to you right now.
Yeah, right.
What are you doing over there?
I'm trying to make eye contact with this guy, but he wants to look at you. So.
I know.
That's okay, man. You can look at him.
Mike, you know, giggles.
It's an awkward setup here. We haven't found the mix.
I wish you have the benefit of a swivel chair.
Yeah, I'm swivel.
See, I do too. We should have gave him a swivel. Why didn't you give him a swivel chair?
Please understand that I cannot swivel. So
give the man
in
the seat the swivel chair. Switched.
My seat is oriented in such a way that I am pointed at Dave.
I'll switch.
No, it's all good. Let's listen to this awesome
so
prog
this,
rock.
Do you
band.
See the
yeah,
dark?
I played guitar.
Your old band.
My old band. I played guitar and wrote most of the lyrics for this.
What happened with them?
You know, the drummer quit. Yeah, he quit. We replaced him in a real hurry. It was like a rebound. We tried to like hook up right away. That was a mistake. And I think that burned band out. Yeah, that was it. And then the Knicks thing, which is partly why this even came up in the first place. You'll hear about the Knicks thing after this song. So stay tuned.
Proggy.
So should we stop talking now? Or
listening. I'm just listening. How do you go from this to rap or hip-hop to MCing?
Well, you know, man, I always MC'd. It's not like I just like put down the guitar and then started working on being a hip hop artist from scratch. It's just where my emphasis was on pushing the rock band. And so, you know,
what do you find is more rewarding, to being like an MC hip hop guy or being a guitarist in a proggy death metal band?
They both have their certain types of rewards. I felt like the rock band was cool because I love playing guitar and I love like loud amps and
everybody loves loud shit.
Yeah. And it's cool. And like me and my bandmates, we just had such an amazing connection being able to play with those people. They're like family. And so that was beautiful. And I love that. And I don't have that now because I'm by myself. I'm like fucking leader of the lone wolf pack. And, you know, I'm just,
I like it.
Thanks. Yeah. Man, I'm just by myself fucking grinding in my studio, and I don't want to make it seem like I don't have a team or a family around me. I do. I have great, great other artists and collaborators, but I'm really on my own on this one. And that's kind of also rewarding because, you know, I know I have nobody else to blame but myself if things don't go right. And so that puts extra pressure on me. And
definitely
in band environments, you know,
it's like having three girlfriends or however many girlfriends. It's like,
yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
At night you're coming up with this beat. Do you like sometimes go, what do you think of this beat, bro? This fucking beat kicks ass. You do it sometimes? I do it.
Yeah, man. I'm a little schizophrenic for sure, man. I got a lot. There's a lot of elements to my brain. And yeah, man. And there's definitely a very very vocal like hater in my brain that I have to quiet down all the time, man. Like,
I think everybody has that.
What are you doing, man? Your life sucks, bro. Why are you doing
this?
What
the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Focus on your career, man. This is not a career. This is a waste of time. Yeah, that shit happens all the time, man.
It definitely does happen. Yeah. Apparently it doesn't happen to Giggles.
No, I'm just listening. Living
a dream.
I'm trying to imagine myself as a hip-hop artist, and I don't see it.
Giggles, I would love to get, before the show's over, I'd love to get like a rap-off between you
and Giggles.
They
call them rap battles.
Rap battles?
Rap battles.
I'd love to hear a rap battle.
What are your
thoughts pressure.
On rap battles?
Honestly,
if somebody challenged you to a rap battle, like, because MTV took it, and then it just ruined it, right?
Nah, you know
Didn't
what?
They do that
it's
whole?
It's funny that you bring that up, man. Right now, the rap battle scene, this is such a cool part to the song, by the way, but the rap battle scene is actually very much alive and well right now. There's a bunch of leagues, and what it's turned into is sort of like, I want to call it like rap meets stand-up comedy meets professional wrestling. And like,
so it's a big show,
y'all, and
with
it's
comedy
funny.
And
it's funny. These guys tear into each
this?
Other. They do them at all sorts of places.
Union
Webster,
Square,
Webster
sure,
Hall.
Right?
No, we're talking about like real legit. These they do.
Are you hooked up with these guys?
No, but some people in my world, I would call them, you know, my friends and family. They might call me some dude that is friends with them on
Facebook.
But yeah, but they're cool. Tons of cool people. My boy Sergio from Square Deal Music and Square Deal Media. He does a lot of the video production for the Ultimate Rap League, Smack URL or whatever. And if you want to see some funny shit, just look up fucking rap battles right now. I mean,
You're going to have me not looking at you again. Here's where I want to go with this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love it. I want you to hook us up to make it a follow-up to this show where we go, Dave and Giggles, go to a rap battle. We'll get interviews with the rappers. We'll get interviews with everybody. We'll just sit down. We'll watch these rap battles and see how it goes down.
Dude, these guys are so good, man.
I'm sure they're amazing.
They're like wordsmiths.
Good.
I mean, it's amazing that they just come up with this stuff. And I think a lot of it they have, like, some stuff in the back that they can just pull from. Well, and they're like, I know that this, you know.
I think it's evolved to the point now where a lot of these guys come in with pre-prepared material, but they're also –
Is it like Eminem slam rapping though?
These guys go hard at each other. Like, you know, like I saw a rap battle where this one dude was making fun of this other cat because he had like testicular cancer and he removed one of his balls and like he was but the way that it came up was just so clever and hilarious that like and emasculating, and it was just it was heavy shit, man.
I bet.
So yeah, the rap battle thing is huge.
What's the percentage of people who get up there who kill it to people who like can't really like get it down?
You know, guys are always prone to choke. I think even some of the best guys, and I don't know a lot of them by name, but I've watched a lot of the battles because I see them get shared on my Facebook feed by my boys. So I watch. I've never seen anybody. You know what? Actually, I saw Cannabis, the popular rapper that had a feud with LL
His
Cool J.
Cannabis?
Cannabis, right. yeah. And he
I think he likes weed.
And he had like a feud with LL Cool J, I want to say like 10 years ago or something. My time is fuzzy now. And he signed up to be part of a rap battle, and he went up against this guy. I think his name was Disaster. And Disaster...
Disaster versus Cannabis.
Yo, and then Disaster's like this hungry... like young rap battle guy who's looking at like a god of hip hop because Cannabis is very well renowned for his lyricism, and Disaster goes up against Cannabis, and just destroys him, like just
Cannabis didn't see it coming.
No, man.
He was in a haze. Get it?
Yeah.
Because well, a lot of it's the crowd reaction. Because when everybody around is just like listening to every word you say, and it's like,
I can imagine being on that stage, and if your opponent is hitting you with line after line that gets the crowd erupting, like it just strips away a little
bit of
your soul every time.
It hurts.
And then it's hard to come back. You hear that, you just got yourself stripped down to nothing in front of an entire crowd of people, and now you have to come with your stuff. And
that's why Eminem would just leave, you know.
It would be, I think I could see that being incredibly hard to try to build up the bravado to back up your words if you know that the other guy is outmatching you. And Disaster outmatched the shit out of Cannabis to the point where like it was really almost sad. Like Cannabis looked like he looked fucked up, man. He looked like the love child of Ray Charles and Delonte West, who is autistic.
It's an interesting combination.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. That's what he looked like. He was just like looking up into the air. He's wearing these sunglasses, like
just getting torn up.
Yeah, it looked like he was searching hard. Like he's looking up into the lights, trying to figure out how he ended up getting fucking raped in front of all these kids.
Did he like get called out and then come because he got called out, or was it?
I think
he was just there.
Nah, man. I think that they had a fat check for him. And I think that he didn't want to turn down a fat check.
Who wants to turn down a fat check?
And I think that he went into the thing with the expectation that he'd be able to pull it off. He had, like, supreme confidence. I think he underestimated how much he needed to prepare. And I think he went up against a kid who saw battling Cannabis as a tremendous opportunity. I think Disaster made the most of it and crushed him and made a name for himself. And, you know, I don't think it was a fair fight. I think if Cannabis had the energy and wanted to do it again, he would be able to do a good battle, because I don't doubt his lyricism. I just don't think that there's no way that he took it seriously the way he should have and came with what he came with.
He just came in, thought it was be a breeze, and got fucked.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe a little bit. Maybe he just didn't realize. I mean, I can't imagine. I'm not like...
He didn't want it as much. You know, the other guy wanted it.
He knew that this was his shot. Yeah, and it was honestly, I don't know who paid the money to get Cannabis to come out, but I think it was worth the money regardless, even though he didn't put on like a legendary performance.
No, you got legendary performed on.
Right. Yeah, sure. Exactly.
It's like going to a roast, you know?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it like... the way you start as a rapper, like you start and you're getting your shit down, you got your talent, and then to get known, you start shit with another rapper.
Yeah, because we got to find a feud for you. That's what we need to do.
Is that like typically how it works?
That's a path. That's a path that can be taken, and you know, you see it happen.
Because I mean, you don't see that happening in like country music. Nah. It's not like Taylor Swift is going. Well, actually, she is, but
she's controversial.
Know, she's controversial, yeah. But you don't have like someone else going. Fuck that. Fuck Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Not in their music. Not in their like in hip hop. Yeah, right. In hip hop, it's like it all plays out into the lyrics and stuff like that. Whereas in other shit, you know, people just hate each other behind the scenes or they're snobby. Because
we could
start
something tonight, and this could make our show go viral.
All right, who do you hate the most?
Michael Crow is on our show talking
Crow,
some
who
smack
do you hate?
About Jay-Z. Let's start a feud with Jay-Z.
Fucking Jay-Z. I already did when I called him every time.
Yeah, this is a problem.
No. We're talking about positive. Let's keep it positive because that's what we're talking about on the way over here.
Why are you so contradictory? You're like, you want him to start a fight so he can get famous, and then you're like, no, you know
he knows,
what,
he
guys?
Knows I'm all peace and love.
Yeah,
man.
Peace and
I
love.
I was telling him I was, you know, I love the bravado of hip-hop, and I will definitely put out tracks. I think I even sent you a track or two. I'll put out tracks to talk about how great I am at rhyming, but you know, I mean, I think that's just become part of what it is to an extent. Like, it's
you got
to
talk about your rhymes. Like,
you got to demonstrate some level of skill. I mean, like, I feel like every good artist, every good hip hop artist has like at least a couple of tracks. Like I said, some cats will only rap about how good they rap. That shit kind of gets boring for me. But I think you still, like, no matter what you like your niche is, you got to demonstrate your skills a little bit. You know,
you
throw out some good wordplay.
You got to get something in there that says you are the shit.
Yeah, like
beyond anybody.
Like, yeah, like one of my favorite lines that I have is, you know, like, my flow is so elaborate. If Stephen Hawking examined it, he concluded he couldn't handle it. Go back to being inanimate. You know,
that's good. That's good. I like the excuse me. That was terrible. I like this when rappers syncopate. That might have been when
is that what they sound like to you?
But they're just
a little more Mexican to me.
I feel it's actually Spanish.
Spanish.
But I feel like that's when I know that it's a good rapper when you can hear the rhythm in his words and he's just like coasting and he's like, I mean, I don't want to like drop names here, but like Eminem. That guy, like, definitely, like, I don't know what your thoughts about him are.
Nah, he's a legend.
He's a legend. But, like, what was he the first white rapper?
No, what about Vanilla Ice?
Vanilla Ice wasn't a rapper.
He was
Beastie
rapping.
Beastie Boys are probably the first big white rappers. I mean, unless I'm missing something, I guess. And that comes down to how you define big. But
it's
I think Beastie Boys
are
like
the most popular.
They're like a very popular first white rap group.
Who's a legend beyond all legends of rappers? Like, who is the biggest?
I mean, you know.
Who is the Beatles of rap?
I guess if you're going to do like a Mount Rushmore of rap, you there probably you have like Biggie and Tupac would go on
Biggie
there.
Biggie and Tupac.
They
both dead.
Both dead,
both
yeah.
Dead. Killed by each other, possibly.
Possibly, or possibly both together somewhere and like an island in the Caribbean.
probably.
Who else goes up there? That's where it gets.
You got
tough.
Two more. You got two
I know,
more.
I know, and I feel like it's hard not to put Eminem up there. And like I said, I'm not a super duper pop hip hop head, but I do respect him. You know, I wasn't like his shit wasn't the shit that I'd be bumping. My personal Mount Rushmore would be different than what I'm describing right now. But yeah, so M would go up there, and then the last one is controversial, but I think like you probably it would have to be Jay-Z. I think,
oof.
Man, I haven't put a lot of I wasn't oof. Prepared for that question.
I mean, yeah, I get where you're going with it. Yeah. I feel like that when you get to the what you put up there, you put Biggie up there, which I think we can all agree with. You put Tupac, which we probably all could agree with, and then Eminem, and then the Jay-Z. I feel like they are. Like the pop culture,
the businessmen,
yeah,
the
I mean,
they're like, listen, I know what's
right.
gonna sell.
I feel like they're not like the underground tops of like what
and,
you know.
And I think the artists that I just shot off there, you know, that's like that short sells the golden era of hip hop that
sure.
like preceded all of those guys. So it's like that's tough to pick a top four. I think it'd be easier for me to just state in my personal opinion, say what my top four would be. Because then I don't have to really explain it. It just comes down to what my personal taste is. I mean, I love Ghostface. He'd be he'd be my favorite. Killer. Yeah, Ghostface Killer.
It's a good guy. He's,
yeah,
DMX.
I'm big on Ghostface. Who else?
Remember DMX?
It's a good guy.
Yeah, man. So I like Black Thought from the Roots, like Talib Kweli, and
I always like a little Tribe Called Quest.
Quest is great.
You know,
they're dope for sure.
So let me ask. Let's get a little deep in here, because I feel like it's easy for us to be like, so how do you feel being a white rapper? Like, is that sort of a stereotype that you're trying to get away? Is rap colorblind and it should be? Or like, is there such a thing like, oh, you're a white rapper? Oh man, you must have a tough time breaking in the scene, or like.
Nah, man. I mean, I actually think that it's probably sadly easier. I mean, nothing's easy for me right now, because I'm still like I was super fucking underground, but
core baby.
Yeah, man. I don't know that it's harder to break through as a white rapper. I think that the path is different.
But I'm sure there's got to be some kind of stereotype of being like, oh man, a white rapper.
Yeah,
he wants to be Eminem. He wants to be whatever.
Yeah, you get those comparisons instantly. You know,
by girls. If you talk to like a girl at a bar and you're like, oh, I'm a hip hop artist, she's like, oh, like Eminem.
Now, you know what you know what I'm used to hearing, and
love to hear that again.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm used to hearing what do you think, you're Eminem, or who do you like? Like, yeah, all right, Eminem, he's white. That doesn't necessarily mean that I like him. I love Ghostface.
Like him.
No, but I respect Eminem though. That's the thing. And growing up as an artist, man, I just always kind of dug the stuff that was like a few tiers below the top. I always felt like I just loved the shit that was like a little different, didn't cater to formats. Now in today, like, I'm trying to make music that pushes the envelope a little bit, use sounds that are not common to hip hop. But I would love to have the success of an Eminem. I think it would be great.
I'd love to have his success.
I would love to be able to do it on my own terms and be able to rap about the shit that I want to rap about. Yeah, honestly.
Why can't you? Like, aren't you rapping about the stuff that you want
to? I am. Okay. The question is like, you know, how far will I get?
That's exactly the same. Why can't you take the pictures and live the way you want to? You know, it's just.
You're basically living your dream right now, right?
I'm doing your best job at it.
You know?
Definitely. 2014 has been really great so far. The end of 2013 was really cool. 2013 and 2012 were kind of like rebuilding years for me. And so now I'm like, I feel like I got a great amount of music that I'm ready to come out with. I haven't told anybody this, but I'm putting out my first music video next week.
DMG premiere.
That's gonna be cool. I'm really excited about that. I think the video looks awesome.
Did you shoot it yourself? Everything.
I did not. I had a great director, my boy Gianluca Cavallari. He's awesome, and you know, him and I did it together, and it was like a passion project, like everything that I do right now is. And you know, I feel like I'm on the right track. You know, it came up, the Knicks thing.
Let's talk about the Knicks thing.
Yeah, you know, this is kind of like, it's funny because this was like the turning point in my music career, because I was on the verge of just like not doing music anymore. The band was on its way out. The drummer had quit. We had gotten a replacement drummer. He was a nightmare. And then the band was just kind of struggling. And, you know, it worked out that I had I made friends with somebody on the internet who was a Knicks fan, which is what Knicks fans have to do to meet other Knicks fans. Like, you know,
it's tough out there for Knicks fans.
Yeah, it was really hard, especially at the time. And, you know, I met him online, and I befriended him because he was terrific with music videos. He would take like a pop song and do like highlights with the Knicks, and everybody would love the shit that he did. And I'd loved it too. And I approached him on some like, hey, do you want to do a video where I'll like write lyrics? I'll write a song that is about the Knicks and you do the video and we'll cut it together and it'll be awesome.
And
like,
you never met this guy.
Never met him. No. And funny, he's from New York, but he lives in London. And we never physically met each other. But now he's like, I consider him like one of my best friends, man. I mean, we don't chat all the time, but I sent him the song. He loved it. He cut a video to it like a couple of weeks later. He sent it to me. I happened to be on vacation in Florida at the time and in Miami. And the video went on. And like within the first hour, it had like 300 views, which is unusual for me because, I mean, you know, I had my other projects where like would be on. I had like a Do You See the Dark video that was online for like 5 years and only had like 500 views. So so I found myself
that
in this
happens.
Like weird.
Found happens to a lot of people.
I know. I found myself in this weird place where I was almost like resenting my own quick success with the Knicks thing because I put so much hard work into the band that the fact that this song about a basketball team was going to be the thing that was like most successful for me was
sure.
a little bit annoying.
Well, views aren't success. I don't want you know.
No,
but
I know.
Doesn't mean success.
I know,
maybe in
yeah.
Grammy land.
This is we're talking about like a
personal thing.
A lot of things that were swirling around in my brain. Most of them were 100% positive. I was very hyped because we got 300 views in the first hour. At the time, I was dating a girl. Her and I went to the beach. We came back from the beach. It had like 1,000 views. Like 2 hours later. Then like, you know, by the end of the night we went to sleep, it had like 8,000 views. The next day I wake up because my phone is ringing and I pick up my phone and it's a representative from the New York Knicks. And he's like, "Oh, you know, are you the guy that did the song?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I did the song." And he's like, "Oh, this song is awesome. We'd love to have it. We'd love to be able to play it at the Garden before a playoff game. We'd love to use it in a commercial," all this stuff. And I was like overwhelmed and, you know, we you know, worked it out, and long story short, I sold the song to them, and they had it, and that was for the 2012-2013 season. I'm sorry, it was for the 2011-2012 season. That was in 2012. That was during the playoffs of 2012. And, yeah, since then I have, like, a pseudo-relationship with the Knicks. They don't buy or love everything that I do, but, you know, I still throw them stuff on occasion.
Will they throw you a few tickets to a game if you ask for them?
They have. They
okay.
have. Yeah.
Right.
I'm not trying to be greedy with that stuff.
No,
but
no.
They've been really cool.
So
they
give you money for the song, right?
Oh, yeah, man. They pay
me
for the song. It was great.
Do they give you royalties or do they give you
straight up? Nah, because you know what the thing is with these songs? The songs that I've done so far are like so highly specific to the particular team that I'm rapping about that like – if a trade or an injury happens, the song is like already obsolete, you know, like so.
True.
So yeah.
Where can
so
I
it's like
find this song?
The one that ended up getting purchased, you would find that by searching YouTube for Knickerbocker Swag. And the actual song that we sold to the Knicks never actually even made it to the internet. The one that you hear that you're gonna hear on YouTube, I had to change for a couple of reasons. One was because I didn't own the beat, and the other was because some of the lyrics reference players that are not on the Knicks. I made a joke about LeBron.
And you had to like throw a Coke ad in there. And
yeah,
like
yeah. I had to throw some product placements, throw a little thing about Chase Bank. Yeah. You know, to something about like their direct deposit.
So what was special. What was like the view count? Because not that you judge success by how many hits your video gets, but like 50,000, 200,000.
The first video, the Knicks only made it to like game 5 of the first round, and these videos are highly dependent on the team performing well.
True.
So as soon as the team starts loses or gets knocked out of the playoffs, nobody's watching the video anymore because
no.
it's a hype video. It's to hype you for the team. And the team's done. There's nothing to be hyped about. So the first one, the team didn't last very long. It made it to like 17,000 views. And then the views trickled in and that was like in like a few days. And then the views trickled in from then on. The second one, you know, like made it to like 17,000 views in the first day and is probably, if not at 50, around 50. But again, as soon as the team gets eliminated, the views drop dramatically.
Yeah.
This is something that like people and myself included, you know, would watch religiously before games to get hyped. Like, I mean, it's stupid to say this.
Yeah.
I was getting hyped to my own song and the video. It would get me hyped.
That's kind of the problem with the internet is like you get these fleeting sensations, you know, like video goes viral. Ellen puts them on the show for a day and they're famous for
some
a couple weeks or whatever,
dance.
and then it's done. You never hear about these people again, and
nope.
It's just such short-lived that.
But I mean, they do get called by representatives, you know, like people pick them up.
I rather have had it happen than not have it happen, because the reality is I was on the verge of like not doing music anymore, and the fact that
You were ready to give up.
I was ready to just like say, fuck this, man. I got to start a new stage. Take things more, quote, seriously. But yeah, ultimately, yeah, this is the one that got me back into fucking around with rap.
I like it. Let's take a listen.
What are you doing?
It's just
we'll plug it in there.
It's buffering.
Yeah, we'll plug it in.
We'll plug it in there.
Yeah. So
you're born and raised in New York. So this is the other thing about the rap scene and the hip hop scene that we could talk about is that you're bred here. So like
this is
you're not from like Tennessee or Utah or something here trying to become
from New York City, Nickland.
Not yeah, man. I mean at this point. I don't think it's a prerequisite to be from New York to be able to you know claim some type of credit in the hip hop world. I mean, I think there's room for everybody, but I mean, I do know that hip hop, you know, was born in New York and is considered very New York. And you know, I don't have to like change the way my voice sounds. You know, I don't have to put on an accent or anything.
Who
it's all built in.
Who's like the godfather of starting hip hop?
I don't think you could pin it down to one person. And I think like this is gonna sound weird, but I don't think like music forms of music are like invented. You know, I think they're discovered. So which means that they exist before the existence of a human being.
I mean, I listened to a lot of interviews with like Run DMC type stuff where
Grandmaster Flash
where they were talking about like they would literally on a Saturday them and like other people would come out, bring their record players, get them out on the street and plug into lights are on the street, and they would just have the whole block going, and that kind of was the birth of like the hip hop, the rap and all that stuff, and that was how it all started.
And there was probably
started with just street parties,
and Grandmaster Flash probably had contemporaries that were right there with him that for whatever reason didn't get any of the credit.
Sure.
you know just maybe didn't go as far as he did, but ultimately I mean it was started in the Bronx by you know lots of black and Latino people who wanted to find a way to make their own music that maybe were not as you know well off enough to be able to buy instruments because it's not cheap, you know, to have and make music, you know, it's not, and it's cool, man. So it's why at the root of it's so creative because they're just taking the things that they already had, like record players, and turning those into instruments, and it's really cool. But so in that respect, it kind of is sort of invented and discovered at the same time because whoever decided that I'm gonna use a turntable to do scratching and to do beat juggling and to do all the cool stuff that turntablism has. I mean, that's like I don't know who that person is. Yeah.
Could have been an accident. Somebody was like, ooh, and it's just like, whoa, man, that sounded good. Do that again.
I wish I could actually like track how many things I've done musically that I consider like my best work that was accidents.
Oh, it always happens.
It's frustrating.
Accident.
It's a real challenge to get over the fact that some of the best stuff that you do is completely accidental. It's like, wow.
It's true.
How am I gonna make these accidents happen on a more regular basis?
Just have to keep doing it. That's really what it comes down to.
That is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, once you stop, that's when the accidents stop.
That's true.
So just keep going.
Yeah, and, you know, perfect segues. I was an accident, I'm pretty sure. You know, I don't think I was an intended birth. So, you know, I mean...
I think any kid's really an accident.
It would make sense that the form of music that I'm doing and the type my creativity is all accidental. So
I like to call them oops babies.
I'm an oops
baby.
You got brothers or sisters? Were you like the last one? And
I do. Yeah. No, I have my brother is older than I. We just like have a gulf of time between us. You know, so it's like I'm convinced that, you know, my folks only like, you know,
the last hurrah, like, oh, I'm going to we're going to do it.
But then the Knicks
wouldn't have that awesome song for
their
playoff season.
Right. And if that song didn't happen, that song confirmed for me. It was like, all right, well, you know what? You're not terrible. That's number one. Somebody's willing to pay you to do this. So that's really cool.
That's really cool.
And they're like a multi-billion dollar fucking organization. They're willing to pay
money for you. It's not that great. But whatever.
You know, it was. I mean, I still have the invoice hanging on my wall. I look at it like, yeah, all right, dude, your voice is good, your flow is good, because those are things you doubt when you're an artist and you haven't gotten like any confirmation. Your friends tell you you're great. Your girlfriend says you're great. But, you know, like somebody who doesn't have a reason to make you feel better actually wants to pay you to do the thing that you love to do. That's what changed the whole game for me. So that's why I decided to rededicate myself and focus strictly on hip hop. And then maybe one day I'll bring a I'll have a prog metal band back. But
bring the prog metal back and rap a little bit in there.
We got to bring the orchestra and then like some chicks singing, because then you know you get the orchestra in there and then
what
you
does
know.
That have to do? Wait, what are you talking about?
If he's doing the hip hop, but in a couple years, like bring the orchestra in there and then get some lady singing and then
you
want to
like
get that
P.
one
Diddy
hit.
This thing?
Yeah, you know. Don't get me started on P. Diddy.
Did anybody hear about? I can't remember his name exactly. Jose. He was just discovered. He was adrift
for supposedly 13
months.
This is off topic.
This is off topic.
Way
what's,
off topic.
What's off topic when it's just a bunch of guys sitting in a music room talking?
Yeah, wait. So this guy's what? Stranded
he's
on
from Mexico. He was from the West Coast, so he was like a fisherman. And he's out there. This is from what I know of it. I could be
only know very little.
A lot of it.
I only heard it on the way over here. I was like, what?
He was fishing with a boy, I guess, like his
that
assistant.
Sounds a little
it
weird.
Sounds a little weird. It sounds a little old man in the
old
sea.
Old man in the sea. She did have like a giant beard, but he was out for 13 months.
Jesus. God. But they found him 13 months later, supposedly in the Marshall Islands, which is in the Pacific, way out there. You know,
that's
way
far.
Out
he far. Got far.
So they said he drank turtle blood, urine, caught
whatever
small
he
fish
could get.
On the side of the
turtle
boat.
Blood is the weird one. Like, why is he drinking turtle blood?
For water. He needs liquid.
Liquid. So he's drinking turtle blood. Whew.
But they, you know, people are doubting his story, but he's, you know, it could be a hoax. It could be real. But on a cooler note, I think that's all right that he was adrift.
This story is cooler than yours, Dave.
This story is much cooler. There is a, I think she's 12 or she's 13. But there's a.
See, this is getting weird.
No. You're making it weird. There's
I
a
made
13-year-old Dutch girl who is. I think she's done it or she's in the process of it.
See, this is getting weird. Done it?
But she sailed around the world solo. So, and she had to go through all this stuff. You got to look. I don't know her name, but there's a movie that's coming out
at
Sundance.
I remember when she set out to do this and she didn't. Something
people were like,
with
no, you can't do it. They're like, you can't do this. You're going to die. We can't let you, being under 18, do this. But she fought it. She's like, listen, I feel good on the ocean. I know what I'm doing. I was born on the ocean. So I think she did it. I don't know. I don't really know, but I know they made a movie about her.
So we'll just get our team of fact checkers on that.
Yeah,
one.
We got fact checkers. We're the
YouTube
fact
checkers.
Have them scramble.
So we got
for the
someone
facts.
Who was found at sea for 13 months and a girl who went around the sea in a sailboat.
Yeah, what about that like 70-year-old lady that swam from Florida to Cuba?
Oh, Diana Nyad.
Yeah, man.
That was a while ago.
It took her a while, though. She tried it like 34 or something times. And
she did try.
She made it happen, though, man.
That's determination, man. Like, that means that nothing is – all right, while we're on the topic of cool people doing shit, what about the Felix – and I think we got to top each other. So this is the game. We'll go around and we'll top each other. The guy Felix Baumgartner, the guy that
jumped out of
80,000 feet or something –
Red
I don't know
guy.
If you've heard about this.
Oh, yeah, the guy that was, like, in space.
In space.
Sky,
and, like,
did skydiving
yeah.
from space. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, top that.
Well, you know, honestly, I didn't see what he looked like.
That's what you want to do?
I didn't see what Felix, what's his name, looked like, but that lady that swam from Florida to Cuba, she looked like a human jellyfish when that shit was all said and done.
Oh, totally.
And as far as, yeah,
you
man.
Remember when David Blaine was in the tube thing or the big glass bubble?
So is he real or is he illusionist? Is he a fake?
They say he's an illusionist, but and he does like big things where he, you know, is in a
but
water.
But is it
thing.
Real though? Like, cause you see it on TV and it's like they cut the commercial and they edit all that shit. But like, is
Bro,
he
that,
really
that
in
raises,
a block
that raises
of ice?
The question.
It does.
What is real?
The last thing that I saw him do was the electrical thing down in the West Side, where he was just hooked up to.
Jumper cables?
Jumper cables. And he just stood there, connected to it for like 48
hours. The car
hours
might not have
something.
Been on. You know, come on.
I saw him out there. He was doing it.
I think, yeah. What's.
What are you going to do, you know?
Hmm.
Shit.
Good show.
We got just about 5 minutes left.
Yeah?
I'd love to hear a little wrap off. I'm just saying.
All right. What about if it's a wrap off between you and me? and Crow
can
does
I judge?
The beat.
Can,
yeah,
can, yeah,
you
can
judge.
Yeah, because
I just want to hear you do a rap then. That's all
not,
I want.
Frankly, I just, you know, I have nothing to win and everything to lose by rap battling with Giggles over here.
That's what I want. That's true. all right, this is what we should do. This is what I want you to do. I don't.
So
I
you're
don't
not accepting my challenge.
I saw what you did. That was actually very, very good turn of the tables.
This is what I want you to do. I want him to rap, and then I want you to judge his rapping. And see if we can get him to do a better rap
give
the
me a
second
beat?
Time. I'll give you a beat.
All right, give me a beat.
Wow. Is that on the wait?
It's
so
on the spot.
I'm gonna coach you, make your rapping better.
Yeah. All give right. me some. Give me some pointers.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what you got.
All right. So I'm gonna wait till it comes back to the 4/4.
Yeah.
The one.
Yeah. Come on.
This is written
Giggles.
By me too.
Come on, yeah. Giggles.
Yeah.
Come on, Giggles.
Microphone check, microphone check.
Yeah.
We're about to inspect the deck.
What?
I got my seamen on board. Yo, we're sailing across the ocean floor.
Oh.
I got naval ships. I got airplanes. I got things that'll make you go, hey. I got
yeah.
big time. I got rap rhyme. I got the things that are gonna make you feel like Key Lime. All right, but so I ended on that.
That was dope, man. That was
I ended on the actual... I think the thing is finding the I'll say this really quick. When I used to listen to concerts, live outdoor concerts, I used to work at these concerts.
As you can see his hand motions.
My hand motions. And I my buddy of mine who was working with me was this Haitian guy who was his name is Fabrice, and he was a up and coming hip hop artist. I don't know where he went in the scheme of things, but he was my sort of I want to say my first this sounds so white, but my first black musical inspiration who was next to me who was like no he was like
set off the super white alarm
yeah,
but he was like not a
first
super
black friend
but he'd listen to the bands play and he'd like no listen to the bass he'd like teach me he'd be like
so you didn't know rhythm
I didn't I'm
how old were
rhythm.
You how old were you
I was 20
what did you go to school for
Theater. Or music theater college
music theater but and I, you didn't know rhythm and you were 20 years old
I was male, and they needed guys. So so he taught me a little bit about it. So, like...
All right, let's try it again.
All right, give me another one. Give me...
You want a different one?
Give me something different. What do you think? Because I need to...
I thought you sounded excellent.
All right, thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah,
no. Different. I need another one.
Back to the other one.
Back to the other one. All right. I'm feeling this one a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Giggles on the mic.
What?
Y'all, yeah. It says Giggles on the mic.
Yeah,
it's Giggles on the mic.
I'm tired of these phony rappers talking shit. I'm tired about this and I'm tired about this. I'm talking about microphones and microphone check. I'm just naming things around the room so I'm getting wrecked. I got a camera, I got a tripod. I got the things that gonna check. Make it go hot. See, I get to the I'm like, oh, that sounds good. And then I think
and
of the next word to rhyme.
You got nothing.
How do I work through this? This is good. This is on-air rap coaching.
On-air rap coaching. All
right. See, I think like, all right. I mean, I think I'm gonna have to demonstrate, try to drop a freestyle.
Yeah, all right, drop a freestyle.
I'm gonna try to drop a freestyle. I'm gonna give the rules that I'll probably fuck up here and I'll mess the whole thing up. But I'll tell you the rules first. That
Here's Crow rules of rap. This is what I want to hear.
This is what I think is real important to know about freestyle. You gotta know what you just said.
You gotta listen.
You gotta know what you just said. You gotta know what you're currently saying. And you gotta know what you can say next, and that can be challenging. That can be challenging. That's a lot to hold on to.
Three things.
It helps to have some like go-to phrases. I know that I do when I'm dropping a freestyle rap. But yeah, man, I'll try to drop a freestyle right here. Wow.
I'm gonna start this over again.
Yeah,
practice what you preach here.
I'm gonna try to drop a proper freestyle rap, like a real like off the top. Like,
kill
this
us.
Is not gonna be. This is potentially just live without a net. This could turn out to be extremely terrible, disastrous. It could turn out to be awesome. We'll see. Hey, yeah. Check, yeah, it's the Crow and Dave and Giggles. About to come through with some flows and scribbles. Take a powder. Y'all get eaten up like you was chowder. I'm about to spit the flow that'll blow up the Crow up. Y'all know how I make y'all throw up. I'm so sick with the flow, how I flip this. Chilling with Dave and Giggles, they be the witness. How do I test this? It's like a litmus. Off the top, you know my flow is the bestest. Yeah, y'all. Yeah, so yeah, that was a freestyle.
So this is what. Oh, I made, so I would have just
that,
came in.
If see, you wanted to, I made.
See
that
what
shit
he
up.
Did there? He yeah. listened to himself.
It was good.
It was yeah, real right. good.
Let me try. I'll try again. I'll try.
I'm happy.
And I want you to join
so,
in.
Sort of okay
I think Dave
right
needs
there.
To
yeah,
join
try.
In.
Give it a shot, man.
We did a rap battle once, remember?
Cool beat, by the way. This is yours. This is
yeah, it's mine.
We did this?
Yeah.
Me and Ryan.
6, 5, 6, 7, 8. Here I am, giggles on the scene. I'm talking about not being mean. I don't want to get mad. I don't want to get sad. What I want to get is really, really rad.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, uh-huh. I sometimes get this voice when I try to rap.
Yeah.
It's kind of high up there. It goes like that. But sometimes I get like spliggity splat. What? A little bit better. I would say maybe like a 5% increase from
yeah,
the last
you
one.
You didn't use non-words like ha.
Yeah. But you know what the thing is, man? If you got to be willing to potentially sound like a total fool. Otherwise, you won't, nothing will, you'll just choke. Nothing
yeah.
will come out of your mouth.
I think so. that's the scaredness of not doing it leads you to never do it at all.
Yeah, well,
which
yeah.
Which is what I'm going to do.
What are you going to do? Let's do it. Let's come yeah. on. Give us something.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to rap, bro. Come
you
on.
You want me to rap?
Give it something.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave
and Giggles.
Okay.
Dave and Giggles. Dave and Giggles.
Yeah.
Dave and Giggles.
What?
Dave and Giggles yeah. gonna show, gonna flow, gonna crow, gonna ho, end this show.
Oh.
Shit like that.
Yo.
Damn, son.
Look out, son.
Is that it? That's it?
No, we get to talk throughout the ending of the show.
Oh, okay.
But
now we're talking throughout the ending of the
so
show.
So it's soundcloud.com/Michael Crow, C-R-O.
C-R-O, yes. Michael Crow. Michael,
awesome.
M-I-C-H-A-E.
Thank you for coming
yeah,
on the show, man.
Out,
this
bro.
Is your
thank
first
you
solo
me.
Hip-hop interview.
Yes, yes.
There's nowhere to go but up from here.
Yeah.
Good point.
Nah, I hope to get invited back. I'd love to be back. You guys are
you're always
fun,
welcome
man.
To come back.
Cool,
any of our guests are always welcome to come back.
Awesome.
Well,
I would have preferred if you left that part off and just let me feel special.
Yeah, feel special. You're the only one who's allowed to come back ever. But this is what something I'd really like to do. See if you can get us to go to one of these rap battles. We'll all go. We'll get like if you know some people who are going to maybe going down or doing whatever they're going to do. We'll come down. We'll bring the camera. We'll bring some mics. We'll get some interviews and we'll watch some rap battles because that would be a good time.
That would be a good time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll float the podcast over to my buddy who works with those.
That would be awesome.
Rap battle.
Yeah,
people,
tell him that we're legit.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of people don't know.
I would just be in the side, just
he'll
like
hear
in a group,
it.
Just saying yeah.
He'll hear the podcast and be able to judge for himself.
There he goes.
Nice.
All right, Michael Crow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dave and Giggles.
Thank you for having
out.
Me. Peace.